Excellent song choice. Gave me some very reflective songs. And then this last one, I almost forgot I had to preach. And I almost took out my voice just trying to reach those high notes with you. But I love that song, He is Alive. And that's what we are here to proclaim, that our God is still alive. That, yes, Jesus did come down 2,000 years ago and live among the people He made. But He also lives today with us, among us, in us, in His Spirit. And I just want to thank you all for continuing to have me here as I take a little drink. I want to thank the elders for continuing to allow me to come. And I thank you for you as a congregation continuing to show your love and support for me, allowing me to grow in the Word with you all as well. So I just want to thank you all with that. Today, I want to encourage us to make our act a lasting impact. So that will be the title of this sermon, Make Your Act a Lasting Impact. And it's taken from Titus, what was read earlier, Titus chapter 3, starting in verse number 1 through 8. But I will pay some attention to chapter 2 as well. And I'll try to make sure that you guys have enough time to write down what I'm saying as I go. But I will just start off by saying this. You know, some people, we know this, some people say that it really doesn't matter what you believe. You know, it don't matter what you believe. As long as you're trying to do good things while you're here, it really doesn't matter what you believe. But however, Paul's letter to Titus contradicts that whole sort of thinking. He knew that people become what they think and that everything they do is shaped by what they believe. When you think about it, the reason why we act the way we do is because a belief that has been shaped in us. Now, whether we were taught that way, whether we observed something, but the fact is we act a certain way because we would like to get a certain thing or a certain thing accomplished, or maybe just feel a certain way and get a certain response after we behave the way we do. But the fact is it all starts with our thinking. That's why he urged Titus, he valued associate of his when he was pastoring the church on the island of Crete. He told him to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Speak the real things. Don't blabber in your opinion. Speak the things that are true, sound, provable doctrine from God. He knew that correct living is a product of correct belief. Error can never lead to godliness. So that's why, as we say, when you are taught wrong, you're really not going to get right behavior from being taught wrong. But we do understand that you could see people out here who mimic, right, the Christian lifestyle. They mimic it in a way where they just do good unto others, right? They try to live by the golden rule, and they say, well, that's all I need to do, and I'm okay. But the fact is, you cannot have good works count for anything if you don't have faith. All the goodness that you try to do does not amount to anything, because we understand our righteousness is as filthy as rags in God's sight. So we must tell the message. We must continue to talk about how Christ matters. It's not just doing what we call good, because when you think about it, and I think I said it before, good is just a matter of opinion if you take God out of the picture. What is good to me and what is good to you are two different things. You may say it's good to hit somebody back. I may say, well, you know, it's good to really get them back. Somebody may say, well, it's good to take them off the planet, you know. Things like that. There's different kind of opinions of what good is. And we cannot stem our ideas of what is good off of our own opinion, but off of the truth that is sound doctrine. So in our world today, many streams of thought lay claim to what is being true. Yet they produce nothing that even approaches the character, the integrity, the humility of Christ. And that's why believers need to pay more attention to the teaching they receive. You got to make sure it squares with Scripture. You got to make sure that it honors Christ. You have to make sure that it is what Paul calls the truth which accords with godliness in chapter 1, verse 1. So we must, you know, at Sheldon Heights, it's Evangelism Month. And I was to come up with all the lessons pretty much and all the sermons and things like that. And this is one of them that I decided to come up with. And it was called Making Your Act a Lasting Impact. So, yes, we are supposed to speak. We have to get over our fear. We have to overcome, you know, some of the terror we have in order to be a sharer. We have to. And if I had time, I would talk about how Paul had to overcome some of the fear he had and the doubt that he had, even though he had the Holy Spirit giving him the words to say. He still had fear. He still had some terrifying. He still had trembling when he was going into certain areas to preach the gospel. And I know a lot of us are like that today. We know we have the message. We have the truth. And we may feel like, oh, I don't know enough to teach somebody else. I'm not for sure I have enough, or I know enough, or I'm ready. I'm inadequate, maybe, to share the gospel. Well, believe it or not, the power doesn't stem from you. Just with everything else in our life, sharing the gospel does not stem from you. Now, you have to have the will to do it. But after that, God gives you the strength. God will give you the courage. And God ultimately is going to give you the word if you just stick to the sound doctrine. But anyway, it's not just about talk, right? We could sit out there and talk all we want. But the fact is, our actions, or how we like to say it, our audio has to match our video. It has to. Otherwise, I mean, we see that people watch us. So they don't just hear us. They watch us as well. So there has to be evidence before information. That's basically what I'm saying. There has to be evidence before information. What evidence can new believers offer to validate their new faith? I believe that this message is for new believers and seasoned believers as well. So maybe you think, well, I'm not for sure. You know, I've only been in the church for so many months or whatever. This message can still fit to you. You can still make your actions have a lasting impact on the word of God. So let's look at this. How can our commitment to Christ be seen as more than just one more spiritual path among many? We know that that's how it goes a lot of times out here in the world we live in. They need to put their best foot forward among non-believers. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking. But how do we do this? How do we put our best foot forward? Well, let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. But before I get there, I just want to throw out something about Titus. All right. Now, Titus was working in Crete. All right. And that's how it starts off saying. And he talks about how he left them there to put certain things in order. All right. And one of the things he was to do is, yes, he teaches sound doctrine. But you got to understand something about the Cretan culture. All right. Believers on the island of Crete, they faced a challenge that was enormous. Sometimes, like our challenge, the Cretan culture had many gods. Its people filled their time with much idle chatter. They liked to talk about things, but it was empty promises and lies. And if you don't believe me, look at Titus chapter 1, verses 10. And I'll just read that quickly. And you'll see just a little bit of what they said about Cretans. Some of you all remember this verse. Titus chapter 1, verses 10, it says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said this, that Cretans are always liars." So I'm not saying that every Cretan was this way. But the Cretan territory as a whole was known to be liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. All right, you all see that. This testimony is true. Even Paul had to say, I agree with that. All right, Cretans can be that way. And I believe that's where we get that word when some people call other people, you're a Cretan. All right, it comes from that. "But therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments and things like that." All right. So anyway, the Cretan culture, they had a lot of lies, a lot of promises, empty promises, a lot of idle chatter, a lot of things that would take them away from the simple gospel message. So how could the Christian's loyalty really make an impact when all these things were going on in this society? Well, number one, I think Paul acknowledged the dilemma that these early believers faced by opening his letter to Titus with the affirmation that God never lies. In chapter 1, verse 2. He says that. He just starts off by saying, God doesn't lie, all right? You may be surrounded by areas and places where they feel like, you know, there is no such thing as truth. Everybody says, you know, there is no truth. There is no truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. But God never lies. And God's truth does not change. He doesn't have empty promises. What he said is going to happen. And whether you believe it or not, it's going to be that way. In the same way, God's people must be people of truth and unimpeachable character. All right, we must have integrity. And how can this happen? Well, I believe it's through fewer words and more action. Through fewer words and more action. Now, don't get me wrong. The gospel message is most important. Because like I said, right, you could do nice things and do good things. But if your gospel message is corrupt, well, that's the most important thing. But the fact is, leading people to Christ is going to take more than just words. It's going to take action. So I say, fewer words, more deeds. And that was the way I think we need to build a consistent evidence of our new incredible lifestyle in a lasting impact. So yes, new believers, can you do this? Yes, you can. Seasoned believers, can you do this? Yes, you can. Just live out the word of God. But let's look at how he talks about we should live out the word of God. We can go to chapter 2 for this. Titus chapter 2. And you'll see that the apostle, he talked about, he kind of put them in various subgroups of believers. All right. And look at verse number 2 of chapter 2. I'll start at verse number 1. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience." All right. So he says, older men, focus on being sober. Number one, I think that's a good thing. Be sober. All right. Keep your mind steadfast. Be focused. Be reverent. Be temperate. Sound in faith, in love, and patience. All right. The older women, likewise, that they focus on being reverent in behavior, not slanderers, you know. I'm not going to get into that, but I think that man and woman can do it. But, you know, women can do it a little more sometimes. They end up talking and it'd be just facts. And then it starts to turn into gossip. And you have to tread that fine line because, yeah, we ought to talk, you know, and be truthful. But you don't want to start gossiping and then slandering people and things like that. So we need to focus on still having that honorable and dignified behavior, not giving too much wine. Teachers of good things. All right. So, woman, focus on teaching good things and holding yourself with dignity, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the work of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men. Young men, I don't know how many young men we got in here. But I don't know, we got some young men in here. You may be young in your mind. He says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Again, don't waste your time taking your mind off of the things that really matter. Keep your mind sober and focused. Because remember, all these pastimes that we create, that's what happened. We created them. Don't try to make that be an excuse for why you don't have time or why things take your mind off of God. Because the fact is, even if you have to take yourself back to the time where it was just Adam and Eve and God, you may have to do that in your mind to stay focused. But the fact is, you have to let yourself be focused on God and not allow yourself to be taken away from it, from the many things we create to get involved in. And then we find ourselves acting like God is the one who created these things. Like, oh, it's normal to do these things. So therefore, if we're not taking part in these things, not wasting our time doing these things, we're the weird ones. Well, maybe we are the weird ones. He said, as aliens and strangers, we do have to stop ourselves from doing certain things. So I agree. I do feel strange when I don't do certain things, when I don't waste time, you know, so much time doing a lot of things that the world does as a pastime to take their mind off of things that really matter. Because the fact is, we need to stop doing that and put our minds on what really matters. But for some reason, we try our best to come up with things to take our mind off of what really matters. So young men, stay sober-minded in all things. Show yourself a pattern of good works. So this means continue yourself. I don't know what all the good works you all have going on over here in Stony Island. But the fact is, when there are opportunities to come together and do some things, men, you should be the first one here. It's sending me the woman always being there and always more women than there are men. Men, where are you at? You ought to be here being a pattern to others to show good works. He says, in your doctrine or in what you say, in what you teach, show integrity. Again, don't say one thing and then do another. That's basically what he's saying. And don't be a certain way when you think nobody's looking. And then when somebody's looking, you want to turn it on. You never know when somebody's looking. Now, someone always told me before, they said, you know, you need to keep your pants up all the time because you're walking down the street, but guess what? You're going to need that job. And you just never know. You go in that place and you see that same person that saw you. You didn't know they were looking at you. And they're like, you know, you were that young man that had your pants all the way down under your butt. I don't know if, you know, you're the type that we want here at this time. So we just always got to understand that even when we don't think somebody's watching, God is watching. The angels are watching. We can set a good example with our reverence, incorruptibility, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. I cannot say enough about incorruptibility among us. And I'm talking about everybody today because you hear it. People say that everybody has a price. I don't care how much they cling to God. He said, you can get everybody to stop clinging to God if you offer them a certain amount of money. Or if you do something bad enough to them. They are going to take off their Christianity and run for it. Well, I don't know. I hope that's not true. I hope that's not true. And if there is something that somebody can offer you to take you away from the Christian faith, to corrupt you in any way, please work on that. Pray about it and really work on that because you don't want that to happen. Because believe me, Satan will come by and offer it. One day, somehow, in some package. He may use somebody that really get on your nerves. Or he may use something that he knows you really love. But the fact is, you want to try to be incorruptible. Not changing when something is offered some way that you think you can get past or get something quick or something like that. No, be incorruptible. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. So this is the goal, all right? We want our lives to look so that they have nothing on purpose to be able to say about us that will take them away from the gospel. You know, we out here trying to teach the gospel and they come up with something like, you're the one! I remember you! You're the one I saw out there, you know, walking back and forth on the corner asking people for something that you shouldn't have been asking for. Or you're the one who I saw coming out of that place, you know, you shouldn't have been coming out of. Whatever it is, all right, I could think of many ideas, and I'm sure you can too. But the fact is, we want to make sure that we are sound in speech, but that our life also gives nothing evil for our opponent to say about us. Also, he even talks about the bondservants. Verse number 9, he says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So he even told those who were servants, those who were slaves, those who were in a position of serving another. He says, do it for the reason that you are doing it for God, not because you're trying to please that master. So many things can be said, and he breaks it down to different groups, but I believe all these can apply to all of us. I believe that we all need to be working towards loving one another, as he says, to be in chase, to be in, if you have a home, to be in all that you can be for your home, to be good husbands, to be good mothers, to be good wives. Whatever your state is, basically he says, you can be a good example. You can make your actions be an impact on others. And we know monkey see, monkey do. A lot of times people are just not going to do until they see somebody doing it first. And you may be that first monkey to do it, all right? And then the rest may follow suit. But the fact is, I believe the apostle tells us many reasons why we ought to have good deeds and show good faith. Each of these groups was to carry out the deeds of faith listed in chapter 3, 1 through 8. So in fact, Paul insisted that they all be careful to maintain good works in verse number 8 of chapter 2. So they were to avoid extended arguments. You see that? He talked about arguments. He says, don't get into arguments with people about things that don't matter, but just lead to more arguments. He says, no, when you're talking to somebody about the gospel, don't waste time on things like that. Stay focused on what matters most. Christ and him crucified. The reason why he did it. Now, someone may want to take you out all the way out there and start talking about dinosaurs and things like that. Okay. But get back to the main message. You could dispute about things all day, but get back to the message, because some things are unprofitable. Some things are useless in our witness. Even your coworkers. Do your coworkers see that Christ-like deeds of believers are in work in you? Or has their main exposure to the faith been little more than Christians filling the air with statements and ideas? Sometimes it can be that way. Has your own walk with Christ produced any visible fruit in front of your associates? Whether it's patience, staying power, compassion, loyalty, even better management, hard work, or faithful service. Are some of those traits that they see in you, even at work, in your home? That's the kind of evidence that shows whether faith in Christ has any power and impact today. So I want to leave by saying this. The same thing I started with. Yes, our word matters. Yes, we have to have the truth and we need to study. Definitely. Like we know that there's going to be opportunities at our door to share the gospel. And in our prayers, we got to be ready through our actions. To be ready with the word, to be in season, out of season, just ready to tell them what they need to know about God and their salvation. But even that may not be enough. Like I said, your actions will matter. So make your act be a lasting impact. Make your actions make somebody just say, why do you do that? And most people, they're just used to saying, well, I do what I do because, you know, I hope to get this back. Or I hope to give this back. Or I know this will happen. Or even giving. Why do you give the way you do? Well, because I know the Lord is going to take care of it. Simple answer, but it's very powerful when people see that you really believe it. And you're not just saying something because you heard somebody else say it. But the fact is, when they see it real in you, then they'll say, man, that is a walking Bible. That is a walking Bible. And even when they slip up, even when they fail, they repent. They ask forgiveness, they own up to their mistakes, and they keep on witnessing. They keep on witnessing to the love that God has shared with us, that the mercy that Jesus has showed us, and that the patience that God continues to work with us and in us and about us. So with that, I think that was a pretty quick message. But I want you to go ahead and look over those passages. Read chapter 1, 2, and 3. And just look how you can put those in your own life. Because, yeah, we can say sometimes like, oh, you know, that time, I don't know, it was easier being a Christian then. No, it was not. They were in places that did not know the Lord. They had combatants on their Jewish side, and then they had combatants on the Gentile side. Either way, the fact was the world was full of people of many beliefs, many different faiths, empty chatter, many lies. And how can we stand out today? I think the same way they did back then. We can stand out by not letting our life be a lie, but letting our actions be an impact. Amen? At this time, if you need to come back to the Lord, maybe you wander far. Maybe you wonder what you may think is very far. Maybe you feel like there's something between you and the Lord today. Whatever it is, get it off your plate. Give it over to the Lord. You're not alone. Don't ever think that way, because if you still have the breath of life in your lungs, God is not giving up on you. He's still here waiting as that good shepherd for his sheep to come back. And he knows, and we know, that when one comes back, angels are rejoicing in heaven. And I think that it can happen today for you. If you have never become a child of God, you're still out there in your sins. You're still out there in darkness. Man, I would hate to be out there in darkness. I would hate to be, and I'm talking about total darkness. Now, you may think that you have some light, but the fact is, the Bible says, without Christ, you are in darkness. And I'm not talking about darkness where you can see your hand in front of your face. I'm talking about darkness where you cannot see anything you put in front of your face, but you think you know where you're going. That's a sad place to be in. And if you die today, if you die, either way, I'm not using scare tactics. The fact is, this is what they taught in the Bible. They said that there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day when Jesus will come back and you will be judged by his words. So I think that we should get into his word. But he says that day he will separate the sheep from the goats, basically. And if you are a sheep, you are in that place where you have been forgiven of your sins and you have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. But if you are that goat, you are basically where you are now, outside of Christ. Looking in, but from the outside. And as much as you try to rub in contact with the sheep, it doesn't make a difference until you put on the blood yourself of Christ. You need to do that today. Get rid of your sins. Have a clean conscience and perform what you were here for in the first place to do. And that is to live your life in the image of Christ. Whatever your need may be today, come and take advantage of this opportunity. Don't let anyone, any fear, any terror, whatever is in your way, stand before you and your Lord. As we stand and sing the song of invitation, I bid you to come.